Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Scoop on Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Let's say you're feeling insecure, kind of small, kind of worthless, and you know you'll just feel better if you punch someone in the mouth, break their nose, make them bleed. That'll make you feel better about yourself. That'll make you feel powerful and mighty. You could go after your enemy, that criminal that's been menacing your family for decades, but he's kind of a tough target. He sees you coming. He expects you. It's going to be hard to get close enough to throw him a good punch. Or you could punch out your best friend, your mom, your child, maybe your grandpa in the wheelchair. But really your best friend. He'll never expect you to punch him out to make him bleed. It'll be easy. What? You've never thought like this? Well, then clearly you're not a sociopath. You probably have normal human levels of compassion and kindness and decency. We're not talking about you then. We're talking about Donald Trump. Come with me. Try to lower your standards. No lower. No. Much, 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 much lower than that. Think of a 2-year-old. No, lower. A 2-year-old with a tantrum. A 2-year-old that does not know how to express himself. A 2-year-old that's particularly violent and mean. Sorry, I just can't get low enough to describe the mind of Donald Trump. But the question for this hour is, what do we do with a president who is busy coddling our enemies and attacking our friends? A president who is arguing that Russia, our greatest enemy on the planet, should be allowed to violate treaties, peace treaties we've signed with other nations like Ukraine, and go in and invade their territory with impunity. That Chinese companies like ZTE should be able to evade U.S. law, evade sanctions against North Korea and Iran. Oh, and hack into our technology, our military technology, just so they can attack our nuclear subs. Yeah, we want to help Russia and China, and God knows we've got to help North Korea, who's got hundreds of thousands of people brutally mistreated in prison camps that often last generations, more like concentration camps. Yeah, those people we got to be nice to, but our allies, Germany, France, the UK, people we've been in a post-war alliance with for 70 years, democracies, people who we fought alongside Nazism and communism and terrorism and radical fundamentalism and all the isms that take away American and world freedom. What do we do about them? Well, if you're in the mind of Donald Trump, I only have two words to say. Two words that adequately express what he's feeling right now.
Hey, Canada! Hey, Canada! For their beady little eyes, flapping heads of normal eyes. Hey, Canada! Hey, Canada!
Blame Canada. There you go. That's the answer. Blame Canada! When South Park came up with that little ditty, 20 years ago now? Seems like forever ago. The reason why it's comedy, folks, is because it was impossible to imagine that we would go after our greatest ally and trading partner. That while the President of the United States is working really hard to get Vladimir Putin to join the G8, to join the group of trading nations, to join the group of free, democracy-loving nations, even though it had invaded Ukraine, even though it violated an express treaty saying it would protect Ukraine's territorial integrity. Now, while we're doing that, we're going to have a war with Canada. This is something that, honestly, if South Park or Saturday Night Live were to do an episode about it, it wouldn't be believable. It might be so crazy as to not even be funny. But I have news to report to you. The President of the United States has declared Canada a threat to our national security. Let that sink in. Canada and the United States have the longest undefended border in the world. Canada, by the way, is the United States' largest trading partner. Yep, more than Germany, Japan, the UK, France. More than anyone, we trade with Canada. We actually have a trade surplus with Canada. You know who we don't have a trade surplus with? China. China, Donald Trump would say on the campaign, China is eating our lunch, trade-wise. China has all kinds of unfair competition. China has a massive trade deficit with China. China's eating our lunch, but China is an authoritarian dictatorship. Just the kind of person Donald Trump loves. No, he wants to pick on Canada, a country where we have the trade surplus, a country that gives more to us than we give to them. A country, by the way, our trade with Canada equals our trade with China, Japan, Germany combined. It's our nearest neighbor. If anything, we pick on Canada as Americans because they're too polite. They're too nice. Imagine that. Imagine that with a complaint for your country. You're too nice. So let's pick on Canada. They'll never see us punch them in the face. What is Donald Trump doing? To understand the traitor, and yes, I said it, traitor, that is the current president of the United States, I think you have to look at it from the perspective of the man who controls him, Vladimir Putin. Putin wants world domination. Putin wants everyone under his power. Putin hates democracy. He hates free speech, just like Donald Trump. He doesn't want people to live in freedom. He wants people to serve him. Vladimir Putin wants that. Kim Jong-un wants that. The dictator of China. And yes, Donald Trump. They don't give a damn about their people. They want people to serve them. That's what narcissistic dictators are all about. The other thing about Vladimir Putin is he's very, very weak. Unlike the United States of America, Russia is a very, very weak economy. Indeed, if you're talking about the G7, you're talking about the world's strongest economies. Well, the United States, the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Japan. It's pretty obvious who the seven strongest economies are. There's only one strong economy that's not included there. That's China, because China's a dictatorship. But even putting out freedom, just in terms of economic strength, Russia ain't in the top eight. The next two, by the way, would both be democracies. Brazil and India are the next of the two world's strongest economies. Russia's around 10. Its economy is not that strong, but its craftiness is. Now, I don't know whether Vladimir Putin has a videotape of Donald Trump enjoying being pissed on by a prostitute. I don't know whether he holds hundreds of millions of dollars in a bank account for Jared Kushner. I don't know to what extent he's blackmailing the entire Trump family and or promising all kinds of goodies to them. But I do know this. Donald Trump is Vladimir Putin's bitch. He is. He will do whatever Vlad says, whatever Vlad wants. Hillary Clinton was nicer when she said he was Putin's puppet. But I want you to think about it from Donald Trump's perspective. Who put him in office? Not the American people. The American people, remember, chose Hillary. The American people solidly rejected Donald Trump. Who put Donald Trump in office? Vladimir Putin put Donald Trump in office. If the Russians had not committed espionage, if Donald Trump had not begged them to commit espionage, he would not be president today. But for that treason, we would have an ordinary president, a very good president, one that would be criticized, I'm sure, like all U.S. presidents, one with flaws like everyone. But Hillary Clinton is far from outside the norm. The only reason we're in this crazy upside-down world where Canada is a national security threat and the dictator of North Korea is someone to be cozied up to is because Vladimir Putin wants it that way, and that's why he installed his man, this child man, this sociopath who decides to hit his friends in the face because he's too weak to go after his enemies. That's why Vlad wanted Don to be our president. Although I suspect it's working out even better than Vladimir ever expected. There's a brilliant caption to an iconic photo of the G7 that occurred last weekend in Charlevoix, Quebec, Canada. It's not one that our government put out. It's one actually that the government of Germany put out. I'm sure by now you've seen the image. There's Angela Merkel staring intensely, her hands on a table at Donald Trump. Macron is looking at him. Theresa May of the UK is just behind. You've got the Japanese prime minister with his hands crossed over his chest looking disgusted or nothing disgusted. And then there's Donald Trump. He's got his hands across his chest, too. His chest, too, sitting down, looking nothing more than like a petulant child. That photo, that iconic photo, which I, by the way, have on my Facebook site, but you could find it in hundreds, thousands of places. It looks like a Norman Rockwell painting. It's actually beautiful in its ugliness. That will be the iconic photo of the Trump presidency. You mark my words. In history books, when they talk about the interregnum, when they talk about the time the United States decided to separate itself from the world, the time when the United States was no longer leader of the free world, the time when the United States defended our enemies and attacked our allies because we had a crazy child man as president, that photo will be the iconic image. It'll be in every one of our children's history books. It'll be a memory of where we don't want to go. As iconic as, well, Joe McCarthy holding up over his head a fake list of communists. It'll be as iconic as Benedict Arnold betraying his country to the British. And the caption on that photo came from, I believe, a member of the German parliament who looks at Angela Merkel staring intently at the child man with his arms crossed and his petulant chin thrust in a tantrum. And she says something to the effect of, "Just tell us what Vlad has on you, Donald, and we can help." Yes, that'll be the memory of the Trump era, hopefully years after it's passed. When we come back, I want to talk about how and why it is that Donald Trump has declared Canada a national security threat to the United States. How Donald Trump has determined that our longest and strongest and most peaceful ally is actually our enemy, while Vladimir Putin is our friend. And if you're confused, then you're actually quite normal. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world.
Mark Levine.
Under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, the president is allowed to have sanctions against countries that are a national security threat to the United States. And the United States Department of Commerce has declared that Mexico, the European Union, and Canada are threats to the national security of the United States. That will come as some surprise to the Canadian soldiers serving alongside American soldiers in Afghanistan. Heck, they even are in Iraq with us. And that's something that France smartly decided not to join. It'll be a real shock to the European Union and Canadian troops serving with us in South Korea, where Donald Trump is now negotiating, I guess, over what to do with them. He announced that he's meeting one-on-one with his fellow dictator, Kim Jong-un. I guess I should say Donald Trump's a wannabe dictator, even though he wasn't installed by either the majority of the American people or free and fair elections, so, okay. Not Kim Jong-un yet. But the real important question is, why is Canada a national security threat? We can get into trade talks. I'll get into that after the break. We'll talk about the fact that actually U.S. tariffs are higher than Canadian tariffs. We mistreat them more than they've ever mistreated us. But that's not the point. This law is designed to be about real national security threats. If you believe that Canada is a national security threat to the United States, you need to have your head examined. Even the president is not arguing, and no one on his staff is arguing, that what he declared as a matter of law is true. Everyone knows it's a lie. Canada is not a national security threat to the United States, but the president doesn't want to follow the law. And this is his out. That's why I say the president is a traitor to the United States of America. We'll be right back after this. 888-48-MARK. 888-48-6275.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Levine. You know, this show has been heard all over the world. Yeah, of course, we're primarily an American show, but I've had callers from Canada before. I've even had callers from Europe before. So, Canadians, Europeans, Prime Minister Trudeau, as an American, I want to apologize. I want to say, in Canadian terms, I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed to be an American now. Never, ever before in my life. I've been very proud to be an American, but it is embarrassing. It is shameful that our country is coddling our enemies and attacking our allies. And to be fair, it's not our country. It's not our country at all. You talk to Americans on the street and they love Canada to the extent that we think about Canada at all. It's positive feelings. The same is true with England, France, Germany today. It's very different from Germany 70 years ago. Japan, Italy. We know who our allies are. And they're not Russia, China, or North Korea. When Vladimir Putin chose our president to be our president, a number of Americans couldn't handle the fact that our Constitution had been shredded, that the fact that we'd had free elections for 200-odd years is, well, thrown out the window. And so it's easier, I think, for some Americans to think that they had a choice even though the majority of Americans solidly rejected Donald Trump. Please know that, Canada. Please know that, Prime Minister Trudeau. The majority of Americans solidly reject Donald Trump, reject racism, reject the fascism that he's trying to bring to this country, reject his hatred of the media, reject his hatred of free speech, reject his tearing us apart. Vladimir Putin loves all that stuff. Vladimir Putin put his journalists in jail long before Donald Trump suggested it. Vladimir Putin caused people to beat people up at rallies long before Trump came on the scenes. Vladimir Putin successfully used racism and anti-Semitism and internal hatreds and right-wing fascism long before Steve Bannon came and decided to use Putin's model in the United States. And there's nothing Putin wants more than to break up the Western alliance. There's nothing that pleases him more. He couldn't win the Cold War with force of arms. He couldn't win the Cold War with rhetoric. People naturally prefer democracy over dictatorship. The only thing he could do is propel a sociopathic man-child to get something on him on tape, probably some sordid sexual act, and or maybe some financial benefits. And then, of course, commit espionage in order to cheat in our elections and install him as President of the United States. Remember Lenin, yes, Lenin, Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, the founder of the Soviet state. He didn't come to office winning an election. No, if you study Russian history, you know the Russian people elected somebody else. He took over in a coup d'etat. So did Stalin. Kim Jong-un didn't come there in a democratic election. Heck, even Adolf Hitler lost his first election. Yeah, he had a substantial minority in Germany that supported him, much like Donald Trump has a substantial minority in the United States. But like Donald Trump, he never won a majority in any German election. Donald Trump has never won a majority in any election ever. Ever. So please know, Canada, we reject this. We reject him. He is not my president. I have zero respect for him. Actually, I have less than zero respect for him. And also know that we, those of us who are in elected positions, those of us who serve as I do as an elected state representative, what we call a delegate in Virginia, we're going to work hard to change our system so this never happens again. One of the bills I co-patroned this year in the Virginia House of Delegates would take us on our way to ending the Electoral College. This relic of the founders may have made some sense in the 1790s, just like the Second Amendment may have made some sense in the 1790s. It has no relevance today. It's actually harmful. And I believe the will of the people should prevail, not some arcane system that doesn't work. So actually, the Virginia law that I have introduced, along with others, would join other states. And I think we have about 170 electoral votes. When we get to 270, bing, out goes Electoral College. It's a story for another day. But I'm doing my best to make sure this anomaly doesn't happen again. Of course, there's one way to show Canada, Europe, and the rest of the world that we Americans do believe in democracy, that we do believe in free trade with our allies, that we actually care more about our friends than our enemies, and that is to vote for Democrats in 2018. Very few Republicans are willing to say this. John McCain is dying, but is saying, using strong words, Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, people leaving the United States Senate, Republicans, are using these strong words. The only person I've heard running for re-election actually condemn Donald Trump and his attacks on our allies is Republican Adam Kinzinger. So there's one. But other than that, it's going to take a landslide victory in 2018. And remember, the Russians are there too. They're going to do the same cheating they are. We have a Justice Department that is trying, under the direction of Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions, to corruptly help the Russians commit espionage to destroy our election. That's what Donald Trump wants. Remember, he's a traitor. His goal is to end democracy in America and to install himself and install his toadies any way he can. I mean, the irony is he makes things that sound like conspiracy theories true. What? The United States declared Canada a national security threat? I had a conservative argue with me on Facebook, and we didn't do that. I had to show him the actual document to show that we did that. Russia hacked our election? Sounds too crazy to be true. Except that it is. That's why Republicans and Trumpists are spreading their own ridiculous conspiracy theories. Not just that Hillary Clinton is running a sex ring out of a non-existent basement of a D.C. pizza parlor, but now they're talking about impeaching Obama. Yeah. Kind of hard to remove from office someone who's no longer president. But in terms of Canada, it's important you understand what happened here. See, under U.S. law, we can't just impose trade sanctions willy-nilly. There has to be some violation. And as it turns out, Canada is fairer to us than we are to them. Their average tariffs are about 0.8%. Our average tariffs are twice that much, at 1.6%. Both pretty low. But we are twice as bad to Canada as Canada is to us. There was no legitimate reason to impose sanctions on Canada. And if there were, we're part of the World Trade Organization, which can impose those very same sanctions. The only way we could impose sanctions was to use this 1962 law and declare Canada a national security threat. Now, I want you to think about what the president did. There are only two options, my friends. Either Canada is a national security threat or it isn't. If it isn't a national security threat, then we are saying the president of the United States purposely violated the law in order to get something that he wanted that was illegal. So those are our two options. Either Canada is a national security threat or our president is a lawless traitor. Those are your choices. So let's weigh them. Is Canada a national security threat? Well, I believe one of Trump's advisors said something like, I know he used the word hell. What was it? He said that Canada stinks like hell or something. I'll find the quote. Use words that generally we don't use for our enemies. But is Canada a national security threat? We have a nuclear base up at alert way up there near the North Pole in Canadian territory. We work more closely with no other country. We have no greater trade with any other country. Canada, if you think Canada's a national security threat, and you legitimately think that, I think we need to send you to a mental asylum. But note that no one in Trump's presidency is saying that Canada is a national security threat. No one's claiming it because everyone knows it's false. I think if we need their steel or aluminum and we're facing invasion, I think Canada will be with us, my friends. I really think so. Last time we fought with Canada, as you may know, it's more than 200 years ago. In the War of 1812, we weren't even fighting with Canada. We were fighting with Britain, and actually we invaded Canada. The British responded by invading Washington, burning down the White House. But for 200 years, we've had an alliance with Canada. So that's just not true. So let's look at the other possibility, the only other possibility, that the president knew it was false, purposely said something was false, not in some stupid tweet way, but in a formal legal document declared our greatest friend to be an enemy purposely so he could impose something that he could not by law otherwise impose. What we're saying is the president of the United States purposely lied to purposely break the law to illegally do something he had no right under the law to do. That's the only other option. Either Canada's a national security threat or our president is a lawless traitor to the United States of America. And it seems to me option two is the only plausible choice. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to my friend Julian in Alexandria. Line five. Hey, Julian.
Hi, Mark. I've just got two quick points. The first one is I think that our friends in Canada who are the families of the 43,000 Canadians who gave their lives in World War II. Sorry, excuse me. I'm so angry, I'm emotional.
No, I understand.
I don't know how they must feel. 43,000 Canadians gave their lives in World War II.
You know,
alongside American Britain.
We just finished D-Day commemorations when Canadian soldiers alongside American and British soldiers landed at Omaha Beach, and 80% of them were gunned down dead right there.
Well, the Canadians landed on Juno Beach.
That's okay.
The Canadians landed on Juno Beach.
The Americans
and 20,500 Canadians landed on D-Day. We forget that. But the other point I wanted to make is if you join the dots, Mark, we've seen the picture, you know, Brexit is all part of the same campaign. You've probably seen, although it hasn't had all that much publicity in America, that the main funder of the Brexit UK, Leave UK campaign, which ultimately led to the UK leaving the European community, was a shady millionaire or billionaire. Nobody knows where he got his money from. He is married to a Russian, probably a Russian spy. And there are pictures of this guy along with his sidekicks and the appalling Nigel Farage, who has led the Brexit campaign.
I tell you, Julian, there was a time...
At Trump Tower.
At Trump Tower. There was a time when Republicans...
Celebrating Trump's victory.
There was a time when Republicans opposed dictatorship. There was a time. William F. Buckley, who I disagreed with on many, many issues, all right, was an intellectual conservative. The two words, frankly, are oxymoronic today. There's no such thing as an intellectual conservative today. There's no such thing as an intellectual Trumpist. But there were conservatives. Ronald Reagan tearing down this wall. Eisenhower, who worked along with Truman and Kennedy. All together, Republicans and Democrats, the one thing we could agree on is we wanted to be the leader of the free world. We wanted to lead a world alliance against dictatorship, against totalitarianism in all its forms. And now all I can say is, well, Justin Trudeau is a decent leader of the free world. Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, all of them are. I do know the United States no longer leads the free world. Indeed, we are, well, due to Trump, part of the problem. Thanks for your call, Julian. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Let me go to Nick on line one in Arcadia, California. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Mark. In the quote you were looking for is there's a special place in hell for Trudeau because he was so vicious in his speech.
That's it. They said there's a special place in hell for the Canadian Prime Minister. I could see a special place in hell for Kim Jong-un, right? The guy who has hundreds of thousands of people in prison camps. No. He's very nice to Kim.
Did you see the speech?
I didn't see the speech.
He's just like, well, I'm a little concerned, you know. It was like so polite. It was ridiculous. But anyway.
Well, the Canadians, as Justin Trudeau said, they are polite people, but they're not going to be kicked around. And I can't blame them. And as an American, again, I apologize. Yeah. Trudeau is right, and Trump is wrong. And as Americans, we need to stand with Canada as it leads the free world through this morass.
Well, my family came from Canada, so I get that one. So anyway, listen, Colonel Peters was interviewed by John Anderson about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago. And it was phenomenal. Now, this guy was a contributor to Fox News for 10 years, okay? He's a stout conservative. He knows his stuff. He says Trump has he used to work in the, the spook industry, right? And so he knows this stuff. And he said when he saw this Steele dossier, it just clicked true. He goes, this is exactly what they do. And he talked about Trump being the perfect mark. You know, he was very loose in his morals. Didn't really have any judgment to speak of, and needed money from time to time, a lot of money, right?
Very, very easy to blackmail.
Yeah, okay.
Very easy to blackmail.
I want to go back to the Fran Lebowitz quote, and this is a gal, she was a socialite, she moved in the circles that Trump always wanted to be in New York, right?
Right.
And she knew him for like about 40 years. And she said, here's the thing, people say Trump is crazy. Well, he might be. But the thing people don't realize is he is the stupidest person you will ever meet.
Right. No, he's really...
And
right. He's like, he's many ways like a 2-year-old child with a tantrum. Right. You could just, you could distract him with a lollipop. That's right. And they do, or something else.
All right. Well, good luck, lad.
Hey, Nick, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Folks, we're going to take a break. I got a number of people on the line. Please stay on the line with me, and I will get to you. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. How do you deal with a president of the United States who's a traitor to the United States? Back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We only got a few minutes left, and I want to get to at least two callers. Let me go to Omar, line two in Portland. Go ahead, Omar.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I got to ask you to make it quick, though, because I'm running out of time. Make your point, please.
You know, I am just sick of Trump turning this country into a third world country. All the allies who have been with us for years, actually for decades and decades, I'm now going to turn it back on the on the United States because of what this president is doing, or should I say so-called president.
You know what, Omar? I give our allies more credit than that. They are smarter and more decent than our president. I'm hearing Prime Minister Trudeau, Macron, Merkel all say that we're not deserting America. We know the American people. We know the bonds between us are greater than one man-child. I don't think they're going to desert us. They're going to have to lead the free world for the next couple years more. And obviously, because we have this, you know, insane person as our president. But I don't think he will. As much as Trump is trying to do it, I don't think he'll break apart the Western Alliance. I think we're stronger than that. But I've been told that I'm an incorrigible optimist. So, but I don't think so. I don't. Trump's going to try and Vlad's going to try. I don't think they'll succeed. I really don't. I think they know that we Americans rejected Donald Trump in our election. And we will solidly reject him in 2020. So I guess that's my optimistic hope. Let me go quickly to Mark in San Francisco on line five. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, basically, where's the Republican Party now? You know, this shouldn't be forgotten that they've been implicit with this whole deal with this guy. And to me, it's a disgrace. And I think we need to hold the Republican Party accountable for a lot of this mess because they could do something about this guy, and they're not doing it. And we're talking about some really serious problems that he's causing in this world and this country and our reputation and everything else, not all, and economic inequality that he's creating. We have a crisis in this country, and the Republican Party is sitting back and letting it happen.
Mark, I couldn't agree with you more. If you look at Donald Trump's Republican critics, they are either leaving Congress or dying. So while I'm glad to hear from John McCain, I'm glad to hear from Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, very, very few people. Where's Paul Ryan? Supposed to be a decent sort. He's leaving Congress too. Where's Mitch McConnell? Where's your ordinary members of Congress? Where are your governors? Where are your elected state legislators? The Republican Party is a bunch of cowards who care more about their own power than they do about fighting for America, for what's right and what's just. And this November, we got to throw the bums out. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you next Monday.